This podcast was recorded Friday, July 31st at 10:35 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this.
Yeah, like we'll know if hydroxychloroquine is good for you.
Yes, that changes every day.
Pretty controversial issue. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up later in the podcast, good news and bad news in the fight to stop coronavirus.
It's better than all bad news, I guess.
That's right.
But first, there is a new man in charge of the Ohio House of Representatives.
And this I do, as I shall answer unto God.
And this I do, as I shall answer unto God.
Congratulations.
Bob Cup of Lima, exotic Lima, the tourist hub of Allen County.
Let's stop here for a sec. Congratulations. It just seems so odd to wish him congratulations. Of course, he's risen to the top spot in the House. He deserves congratulations, but congratulations, you now enter a mess.
Yeah, that's true. Bob Cup of Lima taking the oath of office for better or worse on Thursday, just hours after the House, in a lightning quick unanimous vote, ousted Larry Householder.
Yeah, it just came moments after it was announced that a federal grand jury had indicted Householder and four associates on bribery, money laundering, and racketeering charges related to the successful effort to bail out two nuclear power plants, also known as House Bill 6. In his first remarks from the speaker's podium, new Speaker Cup referenced how things must change.
It is imperative to restore the public's trust in our elected officials. The duty of the legislative branch of government is to serve to enact laws in the best interest of the people of Ohio.
Pretty thinly veiled reference to Householder there. We'll get to the new Speaker Cup in just a moment. But first, let's discuss the downfall of Larry Householder. We touched on it last week. But 17 months ago, he was sworn in as Speaker, marking one of the greatest political comebacks in Ohio history. And now he is out, and it is one of the greatest falls in Ohio political history at this point.
Yeah. In 2004, just brief history here, 2004, Householder left the legislature under a cloud of investigation. He was never charged, but back then, his political future looked pretty grim. Then, about a decade later, he won back his House seat, then cobbled together a coalition of Republicans and Democrats to win back the Speaker's position.
And now federal prosecutors say to do that, to build this coalition, he had to use $61 million in so-called dark money, much of it from First Energy, allegedly, to elect supportive representatives and then win passage of House Bill 6, the law that tacks a fee onto the electric bills of every Ohio customer to bail out two nuclear power plants owned by a subsidiary of First Energy.
So it's kind of come full circle in a way when you think about it. He was able to rise to Speaker, according to the feds, through this use of dark money, illegal use of dark money, and now the exposure of that has led to his downfall.
Yeah, I remember when Householder was building this coalition and this seemed imminent that he was going to oust Ryan Smith. A reporter we talked to at the time said they've seen Larry Householder storm the castle before and he will do it again. Larry Householder is a very talented politician, very brash, no-nonsense, cut from the Trump mold, if you will. He's not afraid to offend people. He has campaign ads where he's shooting TVs, talking about the liberal media. Mm-hmm. I'm not shocked that he, again, allegedly, according to this indictment, according to this affidavit, resorted to dirty politics to do this. Larry Householder has a reputation as a cutthroat politician. Certainly never anything on this level before. But if you had to pick someone who these allegations would go against, I think Larry Householder would be one of the first ones because he's so well known for win at all stakes.
There was a lot of smoke around House Bill 6. We talked about it a lot on this podcast. We talked about it a lot in other programs. It was written about. It wasn't until the first the complaint and now the grand jury indictment that lays it all out there with, you know, wiretaps and subpoenaed records and things like that. Still a long way to go before there are any convictions in this case, but that smoke was not misleading. There was some fire there, according to the federal case. You know, Democrats wanted to expel Larry Householder from the House. He is still a member of the House of Representatives. He's no longer a speaker, but he still holds his seat. They made a motion on Thursday to do that right before the new speaker was chosen. Republicans then voted to table that motion, and that was a symbolic move, but it's also going to be used against Republicans in their reelection bids this fall because they voted, in essence, to keep Larry Householder in the House, even though he is accused in a $61 million bribery scandal.
It's also a pragmatic move because, according to House rules, someone can only be expelled from the House once, and Larry Householder is running unopposed for reelection in the fall. So come January 1st, or come early January 2021, Larry Householder is going to be a member of the House of Representatives. And so they, if they can only vote to expel him once, the time to do that and have it actually have teeth is in early 2021.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true.
That
was not the motive. The motivation for Democrats calling for his ouster was purely to get Republicans on the record saying,
sure,
no, we should not oust him. Now, Republicans can explain all that. But
they also could probably change House rules, I assume, to make it so they could expel someone more than once.
Good luck putting all of what you just said in a 30-second campaign ad. That's what
it doesn't sell as much as shooting TVs.
That was all what this was all about. Anyway, it's just now the other factor with Householder is, you know, he funds all the campaigns for the Republicans.
Yeah, he controls the caucus money.
That money's all very much in limbo right now. The state Republican Party is trying to come to the rescue, and if you do the math, they should be able to make up what Householder would have spent on their campaigns. It's close to about the same amount, maybe a little less. I don't think it's going to be a real factor. Don't, keep in mind, these districts are so gerrymandered.
Right. They're not competitive by and large.
The House districts are more competitive than the Senate districts.
That's not saying much,
but
though.
They're still pretty uncompetitive. And a lot of Democrats didn't even bother to run in some of these seats. So they don't even have candidates to run against Householder supporters who remain in the House. So I don't see the tight races. This is going to be a problem for Republicans. Any race that's up for grabs where the Democrat has a legitimate shot to either oust or hold on to his or her seat, I think that the Republicans are in trouble.
On to Bob Kupp. As we said, he's from Lima. He's a longtime lawmaker, former Ohio Supreme Court justice, pretty conservative guy, not an ally of Householder, though. He did not vote for him in that contentious fight in 2019. And is accepting his new job. He acknowledged that he is speaker because of this challenging time, but he promised to work to restore the public's trust. He also promised to look out for the interest of all Ohioans, and he suggested the nuclear bailout will be back before lawmakers because it's, as we've heard Governor DeWine say, it's such a tainted law at this point. Even if you support the policy behind it, it's a tainted law.
Yeah, he used the term revisit the legislation. Not exactly.
Sure he did.
Not the same as repeal, but revisit. So it's certainly going to come up for discussion. Governor DeWine, who supports the bill, says that we should, the state legislature should repeal it and start over and with a clean slate. That's going to be a tough thing to do, but they have to do it. They have to look at it again. Bob Kupp, I've never met Bob Kupp personally, but everyone I talk to says he's a good guy. He's a decent guy, conservative lawmaker, strongly in his belief on the Second Amendment and the anti-abortion beliefs. He's a true Republican conservative. And everyone I've talked to who has met him, who has dealt with him, really thinks he's a good, fair guy. So he's a safe choice to sort of calm the waters down there at the Ohio House. And the thing that struck me is when he was walking to the podium to take the oath.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
He was wearing a mask.
He was.
And Householder and his allies continued to absolutely refuse to wear masks. And that was a little symbol that he may not mandate the House wear masks, but it was a little symbol that he's going to be more moderate than Larry Householder was.
No surprise that no Democrats voted for Bob Kupp, but the statement they released I thought was pretty interesting. It said, quote, "We don't trust any of them."
That goes to you'll hear it.
Yeah, Bob Kupp called it election year politics, which it probably is, but but I mean, there's not a more genteel conservative in the state house than Bob Kupp. I mean, the way he carries himself, he was self-deprecating in his opening remarks. He seems like a very nice guy. Even if you don't believe, if you don't side with his political beliefs, he seems like a very nice person. But to throw that bomb, we don't trust any of them.
Get ready for it. Get ready for you're going to hear it over and over again. Culture of corruption. The other phrase, pay to play. Democrats are going to hammer that from this point on until November 3rd to try to win as many seats as they can in the Ohio legislature.
That was ineffective in the wake of Cliff Rosenberger. They said the same thing.
Yeah, but Cliff Rosenberger was never indicted.
Yeah.
It wasn't $61 million laid in black and white in a federal indictment. This is going to stick, whether the gerrymandered districts prevent much of a change, but they are going to hammer this right up until Mike DeWine seeks re-election, should he do so.
Should be a good copy for us.
It's an incredible story. Yeah. Not that we don't have anything else to cover these days, but it's an incredible political story. And for the sake of Ohio, I hope it all gets straightened out and things get worked out, and for the benefit of everybody.
We'll be right back. Is there something you've always wondered about Columbus? Like,
how did Circleville get its name?
Does Columbus have an accent?
Are Ohio's highways based on American Indian trails?
How much has the NRA donated to Ohio lawmakers?
What happened to passenger rail in Columbus?
Curious CBUS is WOSU's series that investigates questions submitted by you, our listeners. What have you always wondered about Columbus? Submit a question you're curious about today at WOSU.org/curious. Welcome back to Snolly Goster from WOSU Public Media. Turning now to the ongoing pandemic, COVID cases continue to be diagnosed at the quickest rate since the start of the pandemic. Governor DeWine again pleading with people this week to stay apart and to wear masks. Now he also wants to cut into the hours that bars can operate.
DeWine said in issuing his recommendation at the time that restaurants and bars stop serving booze at 10 o'clock. He says the nature of bars just make it difficult to contain coronavirus.
Patrons either stay at one location, sometimes for a long time, or they go from bar to bar. Either way, they're interacting with a lot of different people. And this is especially true with our younger crowd. And these, unfortunately, while may have been very benign and just fine in normal times, that these are not normal times.
The governor asking the Ohio Liquor Control Commission to end alcohol sales at bars starting at 10 p.m. The Liquor Control Commission voted to do that on Friday morning, and that law is expected to go into effect Friday night.
Last call, Steve.
Can you imagine the last calls at 9:59? Can you imagine the bars piling up on the bar? Can you imagine the beers piling up on the bar?
What's odd about this, we'll get to the sort of the serious stuff in a minute, but what's odd is that the governor was very careful to say, so long as you have your drink by 10 o'clock, you have until 11 to finish it. So
is it singular? Singular drink?
He didn't put a number, except on takeout. You can now have three drinks on takeout.
I'm remembering the brain of a 22-year-old. I'm trying to remember. It's been a while.
It's like Dime a Dog Night at Huntington Park, where you get like 10 hot dogs for a dollar.
Uh-huh.
I can just see bars, guys walking back with like a fistful of beers.
At 9:59, sure.
To drink them up before 11 o'clock.
That's what I would have done. I mean, it's terrible to say, but I don't know if I hope I wouldn't have done that during a pandemic, but that's what I would have done otherwise
just don't
as
drive
a 22-year-old.
Home. But in all seriousness, the bars do seem to be the spot where this virus has been spreading this summer. And this goes along with what the Columbus City Council tried to do earlier in the week when they ordered that bars and restaurants close at 10 o'clock. That was immediately challenged in court by some bar owners. And a judge sided with the owners, saying it was too arbitrary, that they were penalizing every restaurant and bar.
The evidence was anecdotal, the judge said.
For the behavior of a few. So they put that on hold. So that could be the reason why the governor went this route, went through the Liquor Control Commission, which controls the sale of booze in Ohio, to issue this order rather than a state health order or a state order from another state agency.
It's now about 10:48 a.m. I wonder how long it will take for someone to challenge this state rule. I don't think it's a matter. This is a hot take, I guess, because I might be burned by this, but I would be shocked if a bar does not challenge this ruling.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Remember they were shut down for months.
Mm-hmm.
They're now just getting back. Many bars and restaurants have closed. Many waiters, bartenders, servers have been laid off. They're hurting. And there are a lot of bars that are playing by the rules. And unfortunately, they are caught up in this. But I tell you, I went on vacation last week, and my wife and I went down to Fairfield. We went down to Southeast Ohio for a quick getaway. And we're driving through Fairfield County, Lancaster, which was under the mask mandate. Their county was identified
sure.
as being red. And nobody was wearing a mask in the bar that I went to, not even the bartender. Now, we got our beers and went outside. I didn't see anybody wearing a mask. A couple customers outside had them on the table. They were outside, of course, like my wife and I were. And once we were outside, we took ours off. But, you know, it's just – mask thing is – I think it's calming down. I think the – frankly, I think DeWine feels more free now to mandate the masks because Household is gone. He was the chief opponent.
DeWine says they do appear to be working. He said this during his Thursday press briefing about the effectiveness of masks.
The urban counties that have had the mask orders the longest are seeing a significant decrease in where that line was going.
Yeah, so I wouldn't call Fairfield County urban.
No.
Not even downtown Lancaster, but...
Yeah, that was the good news, bad news in the governor's update on Thursday was the good news was that there are fewer counties that were at that level three, which is the one step below really bad.
Mm-hmm.
They're bad, but not really, really bad. There were fewer counties in that red zone on the new color-coded map, but there were more counties at level two in the orange zone, and those were rural counties. So the spread has slowing, according to the governor, in the urban counties, but increasing in the rural counties. And when I went to Southeast Ohio, mask wearing was very rare, very rare.
Tell you what, my stomping grounds, Union County, it's now orange. Turn up. You know what that means? My son could go back to school this fall.
That's right.
All just because wear your mask. Wear your mask and little Jack can go back to school in September 8th.
Yeah. Schools is the next battleground. We'll have to talk about that.
A lot of schools are tying their return to class plan to county levels, which is what we're doing. So
yeah, but other schools are saying we're not going back.
That's what Columbus is doing.
Yep. Columbus, a lot of the suburbs around Columbus and Central Ohio, a lot of schools are saying, because the cases are on the rise, we're keeping kids home for the first quarter, and that, of course, is causing a lot of problems for parents.
Sure.
And
oh my God,
kids with special needs.
I could go on for hours about
kids that don't have internet access at home. It's
anyway.
It's August, almost August, Steve. So we're down to 5 months left.
We still don't know what's happening with college football, what's happening with schools. We have no idea. Turning now to our Snollygoster of the Week award, which we give to the shrewdest politician or political move. Mike was off last week. He was down there in exotic Fairfield County. So
I was in Morgan County, actually.
Oh, sorry. You're passing through Fairfield County.
Yes. Morgan County is beautiful, by the way.
A lot of Ohio is beautiful.
It is.
Yeah, you got to get south of Lancaster, but there's a lot of beauty down there.
Morgan County's hit tough economics, but they don't have very many cases in Morgan County. That's why we went.
Anyway, while you were off, I decided to skip the Snollygoster of the Week award out of the kindness of my heart, even though it probably should have went to this week's winner.
Yeah, it's kind of a no-brainer.
It was a no-brainer.
Larry Householder, for all the things we just talked about.
Snollygoster of the century, Snollygoster of the decade.
Pretty shrewd 18 months before that, even pretty shrewd 3 years to become speaker and then win passage of HB6, and now it's all over.
Remember when he pulled out that dry erase board and he was drawing up what looked like complicated math equations and all these diagrams talking about how HB6 would benefit everyone? Funny how he never mentioned that, at least according to prosecutors, it benefited him personally to the tune of $500,000.
Allegedly.
According to prosecutors, according to an indictment from his peers.
Yes.
Larry Householder, Snollygoster of the year, Snollygoster of the millennium.
The year is still young, though, Steve.
It is. You're saying 2020 is a fluid year? Is that what you're trying to say? Anyway,
it's going to be tough to top it, though.
They will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster. If you have a suggestion for next week, you can send it to snollygoster@wosu.org. Thanks to our student producer, Jack Long, also our audio extraordinaire, Eric French, and our web producer, Michael DeBose.
Yes, thanks to all of them, and thanks to you for listening. For Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media, I'm Mike Thompson.
And I'm Steve Brown.